Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke 3, 21 and 22.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The baptism of Jesus. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Helen. You may have a seat. Thank you for coming. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful to be here today and to get to know what God is like from your word. Help us understand this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. I appreciate the effort you made to be here early on a Sunday morning in church, and I hope the visit you make will be worthwhile to you. And this is how your morning begins. Imagine that you were last night sipping a hot cup of tea, but that cuppa was spiked. You were drugged and you fell asleep. And many hours later, you wake up and you don't really know where you are. You don't remember who you are. You are in a haze. You feel strange. And you see walls around you. You realize you are in a very big room with a very high ceiling. And you start to wonder, how did you get there? Why do you feel the way you do? And what are you going to do to get out? You can stop imagining now. Because that's how life feels for so many of us already. You were put in this world without knowing who or what did it to you. You are here. Now you have to figure out who you are, why you feel the way you do, and what to do with your life. And some of us have already a few decades behind us, and we're still facing these questions. These are big questions. And where do you go to find some answers? When do you try to find them? You can Google it, but Google doesn't really know you. You can go to friends and family, they know you. But they too are in the same situation. They're trying to figure out their own lives. So what do you do then? You can try Sunday. Huh? This is the name we gave to a series of new talks starting today. Try Sunday is a series of free talks based on Glenn Scrivener's marvelous writing. If you want to find more about it, you Google the 3-2-1 course, Glenn Scrivener. And it raises three questions, three big questions. First, what is God like? If there really is a God. Second, why is the world the way it is? So beautiful and so dark at the same time. And third, What does Jesus have to do with me? And I have to say, the answers will not come from an ancient philosophy or the latest ideology. The answers will come from Jesus Christ himself, from the sayings we find of him in his biographies, which we call the Gospels. The biographies of Jesus, the Gospels. So let's explore the first question today. What is God like? And here's a question for you. Can you picture God? Huh? There you go. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter. What I'm after here is for you to grasp what pops in your imagination, what pops into your head when you hear the word God. I'm going to give you some time. I didn't have a very fun idea of God growing up. For me, God was like almighty surveillance, cosmic CCTV, ready to catch me in the action, stealing chocolate in the aisle, stealing the other boys' toys, Hot Wheels. I felt watched, observed, like there were a giant pair of binoculars just following me everywhere, seeing me even in darkness. It wasn't very comforting. And going to church just felt like having more pairs of eyes controlling me. How do you picture God? Huh? There was a chaplain once working among university students of a very prestigious university. And the students would say, "Chaplain, come on, don't talk to me about God or religion. I don't believe in God." And the chaplain would say, "All right, which God is it that you don't believe in?" And the student would be a bit puzzled. "Go on, describe the God you doubt." And they tended to describe God as a very powerful and very lonely old man. Like they would put an angry Santa Claus on that picture, with no gifts to give, just a list of naughty people to stalk and curse. And the chaplain would say, I don't blame you. I don't believe in that God either. I believe in God as I see God in Jesus. So when the chaplain thought of God, he put Jesus in that frame. And that's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible will tell us, that Jesus is the image of God, the exact representation of God, the Son of God, like a mirror reflecting the perfect picture of what God is like. And this is the big theme in the Gospel of John, the biography of Jesus according to John. Do you want to see a picture of God? John would say, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son. He has made God known." In other words, if you want to see God, look at Jesus. And what do we see in Jesus? Do you remember Christmas? Jesus was born in poverty. He grows up among the people. He becomes a carpenter, and he lives a very simple life. And then very quickly, just after his baptism at age 30, he becomes the most famous teacher and storyteller the world has ever encountered. Because whatever Jesus encountered, whoever he touched, got healed. Everywhere, people following Jesus, they were trying to squeeze through the crowd to touch him. Because they got instantly healed. And even a word of Jesus was enough to make disabled people well. And to make evil spirits leave. Just a word. And everywhere Jesus went, it felt like he owned the ground. He owned the waters of the sea. The weather. Just a word. And he commanded nature. But if you kept looking at Jesus, you would see Jesus was not after applause. All eyes were on him. And you would expect Jesus to be on top of the world, high above the crowd. But Jesus stoops, and he serves, and he suffers. He's touching the people we don't even want to see. He's touching the diseased, the weak, the filthy. He's low on the ground, giving his life away until he dies. And this is the central message of Christianity. The moment Jesus dies, because of who he is able to take our place. He dies our death in a bloody sacrifice, only to rise again to life and offer us new life and a new future with him. According to the Bible, this is what God looks like. And the question is, can you believe in this? Can you believe in a God like this? Let's go back to you. We're making room here for very big questions this Sunday morning. And my question is, again, what is your default picture of God? If you still find that difficult to grasp, here is a way around it. Here is another question that might help us. What do you think was there in the beginning? That's the phrase we find on the very first page of the Bible. In the beginning. And it's also the phrase we find in this biography of Jesus. The first page. In the beginning. This is like going back in time. Before time. Before people. Before planets. Before protons. What was there? Some people would say there was chaos. Chaos. Or other people would say, no. There was energy. Just energy. And many of us, perhaps tired of the exercise, we would just say, there was nothing there. Nothing there. There was nothing there. And yet, we have the immense universe around us, this beautiful universe. So the whole universe is a great magic trick. Nothing up the sleeve. No sleeve. No magician. No plan. Just inexplicable magic. Nothing becoming this life that aches with dreams and drama. This life that we feel in our post today, I hope you do. From nothing to life. Could be true. But that sounds like a miracle to me. And that's exactly what Glenn Scrivener would say. We have to pick our miracle. Do you remember Christmas? Do you remember the Virgin Mary receiving the good news from the angel? As a Christian, I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. But if you find that hard to believe, you are left with the virgin birth of the cosmos. Pick your miracle. You may say, well, We don't know how the universe began. This is too big a question for a Sunday morning. I didn't have eggs and breakfast. It wasn't English breakfast. It was just a bowl of cereal. I don't know. Perhaps people in the future, they will know. Science will get there, and the people in the future will know. Huh? But the more we explore the universe, the more we discover, it seems to me that the more we find mystery. Do you remember the James Webb pictures? Yeah? No? Satellite pictures? They were released early last year, if I'm correct. It's a mighty telescope capturing stardust and galaxies extremely distant to us. And the photos, they show beauty that makes you tremble. And they are so far. Actually, because they are so far, and because light takes so much time to travel, what you see in the pictures may no longer be there. It's gone. Mystery remains. And it makes me think that unless, yes, we could in the future travel back, speed back through time, go to the edge of darkness and find out what happened and that explains our universe and our life today. But I believe that unless somebody who was there in the beginning to come to tell us what happened, mystery would remain. So if we asked Jesus, what was there in the beginning? Can you reveal that? His answer would completely and utterly surprise us. Because on the night Jesus dies, he was praying in front of his disciples, and he prayed, he spoke to God like this. Father, you loved me before the creation of the world. Apparently, in the beginning, Jesus was there. Older than galaxies, older than time, as old as the Father he's speaking to, and the picture Jesus reveals, no telescope can capture. The picture is like an eternal fountain of love crashing down from the Father to Jesus, the Son. What was there in the beginning, Jesus? If he had to say it in one word, Jesus would say, love. When Jesus is baptized, we get another glimpse of this. He doesn't need to be baptized, but he goes into the water to lead the way of cleansing for us. And we just read the story. Jesus walks into the river Jordan, and as soon as he's baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven saying this, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Here, the Niagara Falls of love, a father full of joy for his son and filling him with the Holy Spirit. Three in one. The Father who loves the Son, who loves the Spirit, who loves the Father, in the most marvelous picture of pre-cosmic beauty. And that picture explains the beauty we see around us. That explains our dreams and drama in life today. We are not being stalked. We were made to join in this love, just as Jesus experiences. We are not being controlled. We were made to be full of the Spirit of God, just as Jesus experiences. We were not made to be confined in a room. We were made for something far greater than walls around us and a ceiling over our heads. We are back in that room, and Jesus walks in. Why is the world the way it is? What does Jesus have to do with me? What are we going to do with our lives in 2023? For now, these are questions that will get answers. But for now, Jesus invites you to follow him. And we invite you to come next Sunday. The mystery has been revealed. God is love. And you and I are invited.